Today we're going to look at Luke 13, 10 through 14, but before we do, I want to just skip over a little bit of review as we have seen in the parables prior to in Luke 12. The admonition was to be rich toward God, and it was also not to worry. Just that whole thought that worry can't add anything to you, but rather it can shorten your life, right? It can cause you distress where it affects your body, your mind, your soul, and all that. So we want to really, as worry comes up in us, and we all have concerns, but when it gets to be where it is to that effect that it is damaging, you want to really be careful to take it to the Lord. And I mean, every one of us has concerns. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fretting and unbelief. And we don't want to fall into that, right? Also in Luke 12, I think in verse 35, it talks about being prepared, and how we are to gird our waist and keep our lamps burning. And these two are two pictures of readiness and preparedness. And the one of girding your waist is you actually would lift up your hem and tuck it in so that you could run. So, isn't that good that we have the ability to run in the spirit, and that we have to be prepared, and again, we keep our lamps burning. That means we have to tend to them even in times when it's inconvenient, at nighttime when it should be, your lamp should be resting. You want to always be alert, always focused, and be prepared. So you trim your lamps, and you all know the story of the virgins, and you can read that on your own. But those things I wanted to bring to mind, and also in Luke 13 in verses 1 through 5, if you've been reading along, it talks about Jesus stands at the edge of death until repentance occurs. So there is a hope for salvation to the very last breath of anyone's life. And we see that it pictured in the story of the two thieves, right? That second thief did nothing religious, did not one act of service, or he did absolutely nothing but turned and recognized the Lord. And that thief was in paradise with Jesus. So, I love that story so much because it really gives me hope for people that I am concerned about their eternal salvation. And I'm always like, Lord, deep unto deep, minister to them, reveal yourself to them. And I know he is faithful to do that. So I imagine we're going to see many thieves in the kingdom of God that just made it in by recognizing Jesus on their deathbeds or on their last moments. And, just in thinking in those terms, it does bring consolation to you, doesn't it? And comfort to you, for a person that takes their own life, like they can't be in their right mind. They just can't be in their right mind. Lord, you know that. So, so anyways, we're going to move along. We're going to read Luke 13, 10 through 14. This is Jesus. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 long years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands, both hands, on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This is a great, great little four verses, to bring our attention to. Jesus addresses this woman as a daughter. A daughter of Abraham, to show how special she was. And when he runs into the rulers of the synagogue in the latter verses after this, he's showing there's no better day to heal than the Sabbath, because we were made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath, not us to keep the rules, but rather that it is made for healing. And, you know, he brings the story of if your donkey's in the pit, do you go? Well, look, like we talked about the couple of weeks before, those things, those sparrows are way more valuable because they're representing people. People are way more valuable than the seals, the wildlife of polar bears and so on. Not that that isn't a good thing. But there's, how about save the babies, right? So there's no better day than for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. And, you know, it was kind of in your face, you know, which, he was good for doing those kinds of things to break this stinking spirit of religion. And so when we read the story, we see that this woman had a spirit of infirmity, indicating that her suffering was demonic in nature. When Jesus is speaking to her, he says, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He doesn't say you are healed. He said you are loosed. So there is a really strong indication that the source of her suffering for all these 18 years has been demonic in nature. We know there are certain things, even genetically, that run in families that is demonic in nature. I would say that alcoholism is originally demonic in nature, right? And that even a person to get free from that needs not only to be healed, but they need repentance and they need deliverance. Now, remember, we've said this many times, deliverance from the demonic and healing are just a different side of the coins, okay? Really, deliverance is a healing ministry. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. This here was the last recording or record of Jesus' ministry in the synagogue, is right here in this story. So Jesus had already left the Galilean region and the Galilean ministry and was moving toward Jerusalem. This was the last 6 months of his ministry. So Jesus was teaching and speaking. And not in the NIV, but in another translation, the Greek word kaidu, however you want to say it, it says Jesus was speaking and look, and there he saw the woman. Jesus was speaking and looked, and he declared it. So that puts a different emphasis on his pausing in the midst of what he was doing and taking notice of the woman. So look. And Luke also mentions this in these terms to emphasize the seriousness and the length of suffering that this disease caused. And he also, in the story, as he's talking about how Jesus dealt with her, is highlighting the greatness of the cure. 18 years, she's raised, right? Now, what this woman had is something very disturbing, but it's very unsettling. to see. This was not just a hunchback woman, okay? This woman was, her head was to the ground. I can even reach that far. This is, if you stand up and look at your feet, you just do it. Go ahead and do it. Stand up and look at your feet. You don't have to hear on me. But think of it, Dr. Only take a couple steps, okay? Imagine that this is all you see. Imagine this is all you see is the dust of the earth. You have no vision of the sun and the moon and the stars and the flowers and the trees. No vision whatsoever. This is all you see for 18 years. This kind of condition, it is called camptocormia, and it is C-A-M-P-T-O-C-O-R-M-I-A. And it is also called BSS, or bent spine syndrome. Now I'm going to cry. So her body was folded in half. Now, you guys, if you were to stay in that position that you were in, how long do you think you could do it without starting to get a sore back, right? Just stretching. I mean, a little bit down, that's all you see. But, you know, my grandson has dystonia, which is what happens with this woman. And when it's fully active, he's on his back and his legs totally, totally come to his head. His whole body is folded in half. It's horrible. But thank God he's doing well. But just the picture of that and what it does to the spasms and the pain and the stretching and the just when you have no control and your body betrays you like that, it's really incredible. It's incredible. So here is that lady. I guess maybe that's why my heart is just so broken for this kind of condition, because I've experienced it, you know. Anyways, so she's folded in half, okay? Now, it says in the story that she had a spirit of infirmity, which we've mentioned was demonic in nature. In no way, it was impossible, it was unbreakable. She could not stand. She could not raise herself up, having done all, stand. You know how standing is so important in the scriptures? You'll see it here and there. It's important. It's an important posture that she was unable to do. Stand and see the salvation of your God. Oh, well, I guess she's experiencing it here, right? So it was impossible for her to even view life properly, everything. And because of her position, she could only look at the dust of the earth and on her feet. And her world, her entire world, consisted of the absence of beauty. Think about that. This is the condition of every person we know who does not know Christ to some degree or another, right? And we are to do the works that he did. So we have the gospel, and we are able to address people in this spiritual condition, okay? Absence of beauty, wrong perspective, so on and so forth. And like the man who was blind from birth, you know how they all want to blame somebody, the parents or whatever, she was not responsible for her plight, but rather that God would be glorified. That's pretty incredible when you think about the fact that in Judaism, any kind of illness like this was considered a punishment. The blind man must have sinned, right? She must have done something to be in this situation. And you know, think about this. Jesus saw her and said, look, but she only heard him. She only heard him. She heard a voice. And she only heard him. That's pretty incredible. Out of all those people, she heard him. And he saw her. So, when we look at the scriptures in verse 12 again, Jesus saw her, right? And he called her, she's out here, to him, and then spoke to her. So first he calls from a distance, right? And then he calls her to him, which for her was an activation of faith, that he called her to him. He put that in motion. I mean, think about this. This woman shuffled to the temple every single week in pain, most likely. What kind of perseverance is that? That's incredible. When you have these smart alecks that are, you know, rule keepers, you know, oh my God, they don't look at the woman who got healed. They don't look at her sorry estate and have kindness or mercy or compassion. All they look at is rule number 10, do not heal on the Sabbath. Well, Sabbath was made for people. And Jesus emphasizes that in this. So, we move on. This woman had a spirit of infirmity. The medical terms, again, is that she was bowed together or folded double, where the torso is bent to the ground just above foot level. Bound by Satan's control of her body, shuffling in pain for 18 long, long years. What sort of life did this woman shuffle home to? It could not have been a very good one. 18 years is a long time. And that should remind us that we persevere no matter how long it takes, right? And that he can do the impossible. Jesus is our unbender, so to speak. The Bible tells us that she was totally unable to raise herself or stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, she heard him call to her. And she followed that voice. He summons her and she comes. And he speaks those words, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Loosed infers, again, that her illness was spiritual in nature. Now, think about the devil never plays fair. She was under this control for all these years. Man, that's a long time. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 61, and we will see here how the Lord fulfilled this in this very story. I'll just read part of it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and he has sent me to proclaim liberty to those that are captive by Satan and under his power. Liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Imprisoned in your body, imprisoned in your soul, imprisoned in your spirit. This is where Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 61. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Man, this Isaiah 61, it's so beautiful, isn't it? To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Imagine her eyes when she saw all this for the first time ever. Wow, that's miraculous. Beauty for ashes, the dust of the earth. Wow. The oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Man, a garment of praise. She stood up. And what did she do? She praised God. Instantly, she was healed. And instantly, she stood up. In verse 13, it says, he, Jesus, laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. This is what happens when every person who is bound to Satan, or bound to the world, or bound to infirmity, or imprisoned by whatever, fill in the blank, their past, their woundedness, their pain, whatever. When God moves, they are straight and they glorify God. That is conversion. That is the miraculous working of the gospel. And we have that to share, you guys. We have that to share and impart to those. If we could only see beyond people's defenses, if we could only see that, even like the man of the tombs, there was something inside him that wanted Jesus, even though he is filled with demons and injuring himself and separated from society and all that. There is something in every single human being's heart that was made for eternity. In Ecclesiastes, it says he put eternity in the hearts of men. So there is something in every person we come in contact, every family member, every lost one, everyone in bondage, that wants to know Jesus. And so the responsibility for us is to not only seek the kingdom first, but to walk in the kingdom ways, right? And bring that to those who are hurting and damaged and lost and infirm. Power of the gospel. Man, it's incredible. So, again, in the story, the scriptures tell us she was totally unable. It was impossible for her to raise herself and to stand up straight. Do you know, if you think you can raise yourself outside of the grace of God, you're not really straight? You're not. It's only the grace of God that gives us the ability to raise ourselves up. Okay. So, we read Isaiah 61. Again in the story, Jesus laid both hands on her, and most likely his hands were on her back, I would think, because that's where, in the torso, in that area is where it is. You know, how many of you know that the devil sometimes encamps in people's backs? And you see all kinds of people suffering back pain. And it's not just a physical thing. It's you know, something that is a demonic assignment. And you think about this. Okay, she's standing up straight. Every muscle, every ligament, every neurological system, every pain was immediately gone. Immediately, instantaneously. That's miraculous. Now, healing sometimes is a process, right? Just like the man who needed his eyes touched a second time. It's a process. This here is a deliverance, miraculous deliverance. And what all the others took for granted, attending the synagogue, You know, they get in their car, they go to church, they're sitting, right? What came easy for them took extreme difficulty, time, energy. I imagine it took her a lot longer to get where she needed to go, pain, to shuffle her way to the synagogue service, where coincidentally, Jesus was speaking. And remember, this is the last time recorded in synagogue. This is incredible. She was at the right place at the right time. And it really does speak to me of her perseverance and character. You know, you wonder, you know, sometimes why aren't people banging the doors down in this place? Because this place is full of gold and silver and all manner of kingdom treasures, right? This is why. They are bound. They can't raise themselves up. It takes an act of God to get people in these doors. It takes an act of God to break demonic power, and it takes an act of God to make them straight and to give them the ability to be converted and praise the Lord. So, you know, sometimes you just think, you know, why isn't this place just flooded with people? Well, we need an act of God. We need revival. We need renewal. We need a move of God in our culture, in where we're situated at this address, like we have never experienced before. Wouldn't it be like in the days of, what were those, that real move of God down south? I forget. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? No, down south. No, it was earlier than that. You know, it started in the little church. Anyways, where was the Holy Spirit moved out? But can you, yeah, Azusa Street. The Azusa Street revival. They in during those revivals, look, all the bars closed down. Can you imagine going up to 8 Mile and seeing doors closed, strippers, prostitutes coming to Jesus? That is a move of God. And I'm telling you, there's no way I'm going to ever give up on the prophetic word that Pastor gave about God wanting to move on 8 Mile and Shaner. And I don't care if it takes the church next door and the church across the way and the church over. I don't care how many boats it takes. The nets will be filled. And so we continue to be obedient in what we're called to. And we really, really have to resist the temptation to discouragement, to defeat, to despair. That is, like I said, I think last week, that is the spirit of witchcraft, which is against the church. You know, Carolyn, I'm going to pick on you for a minute. When I need to just refresh that attitude of worship, you know what I did? I opened up Sunday service to the opening prayer where Carolyn was ministering. It broke open so much power for me that, I mean, I ascended. And so, you know what? If you're discouraged, go there. Is it easy? Turn on a worship song. Call somebody, whatever. Whatever it takes for you not to fall into despair, defeat, depression, all those things. We need to press in to his presence. So, absolutely, but say it loud.
How many 18 years? And she was shuffled instantly. I wonder how many times she shuffled to the synagogue.
Yeah.
And thought, today might be the day I might get healed.
Yep.
You know, so that gives me hope.
Yep.
There's things I've been praying for decades.
Yeah.
You know, today might be the day.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Amen. And you know what? We do come to church expecting, don't yes. we? Mm-hmm. We do come to church expecting something of the Lord. And not only just expecting, like putting a demand on his power, like on his virtue, so that it heals and does, you know, set people free, but we come wanting to give him every single thing that is his due, regardless of what happens with us, right? We seed the clouds of heaven with worship, and eventually, what do clouds do? Rain. We seed or fill up the bowls of heaven as we continue to persevere in prayer. And what happens? Eventually, one more prayer, one more day, boom, right? So that's the God we serve. But there are many other voices that say differently. We need to pay attention to his voice. If we're stuck in a situation and we're bent over in despair or whatever it may be, he'll call your name. He'll call you to him, and he will touch you. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, let's look at that. Romans chapter 5 is a really well-known chapter and verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we what? Stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Jesus is all about our unbending. Jesus is all about our standing. He is all about glorifying God the Father. What better way to demonstrate the kingdom of God than to see people delivered on the Sabbath, breaking Satan's control, and remembering that the part of the Sabbath really is the love of God. It's the love of God. So that's probably one of the reasons why Jesus delivers and heals and saves in the midst of the united, baptized body of Christ that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus loosed her immediately, and he will not be limited by our rules and our methods. He sees broken people before broken rules. He delivers, heals in a variety of ways so that we would not rely on formulas and methods. We know the story of the 10 lepers. They were healed on the way. We know the story of the blind man who received a second touch. We know the story of Jesus spittle in the mud and putting it on the man's eyes. Who knows if he made an eyeball? I don't even know. I like to think that he did. But all those who are unconverted, or maybe in the process of sanctification even, are bent in some ways. I still have some ways that God needs to unbend. there's a twisted pattern of thoughts and perspective. They can't walk properly. They're messed up. Which leads me to the question, how do we, as a church and as a body of believers, how do we deal with a situation like this, with this woman of infirmity? Well, you know, there's a lot of different things we could do, but I tell you, the first thing we want to do is understand that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And it is as we learn of the Holy Spirit, because he's a person and he has attributes and virtues, he has emotions, he has a mind, he has, you know, a personality. As we get to know the Holy Spirit more and more intimately, we will know the recipe or the prescription, so to speak, for those that are demonically bound, those that need healing, those that, you know, need freedom, those that need whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows us what is what. Not a method, not a formula. And in this hour, there's safety in numbers, right? You get counsel from many so that you get good counsel. So, say, for instance, someone comes in. Look, you're not going to freak anybody up and start rebuking the devil unless the Holy Spirit says to do it and you have some confirmation around you, or you're in a ministry session and that's your intent, is that person is desiring to be free from patterns of living that are not healthy. Then you have a team of people coordinating and following the Spirit. And it's like, you know, Jan gets one word, it's this. That's a word of wisdom. It unblocks the whole thing. And then to that is another word. And then there's another word. Then all of a sudden it's a sentence of the Spirit. And then it's a paragraph of the Spirit. And then it's this whole page of what the Spirit does, you know. And so, you know, I know that as Luke wrote the book of Acts, he will describe a lot of these situations that we're talking about. And so we'll have more info on that, but I wouldn't take on powers and principalities or systems without a multitude of people. You don't do those things alone, because I'll tell you, I had an experience once, and I think I've shared it with you guys, with, you know, I was kind of full of myself in the Spirit. Not that any of you guys have ever experienced that, but I mean, I just thought I could do anything, right? I mean, but I wasn't hearing from the Spirit. We all have boundaries and limitations in the Spirit, you know, even in our giftings, you know. But I was just, you know, overconfident and presumptuous, and I went after Jezebel. Well, let me tell you, the very next day, my son was arrested for a multi-million-dollar crimes that he did not do. And it took his whole senior year of high school to get through the courts and the lawyers and the unit, you know what I'm talking about. And at the very end of it all, he was vindicated. He had had a, what do you call it, lie detector test. But all along, even friends of ours heard from the police department, you think this kid did it? I mean, everyone thought he did it. He was in a car. His friend had just moved and had a baseball bat in his car. So, hey, there's evidence, right? He had baggy pants on. And, well, you know, they judge by what you look like. It's true. You better just do the 10 and 2 and let the police do their thing. They separated him from his best friend and tried to get them both to confess. Well, they didn't, because they didn't do it, for one. But everything in us was challenged. I mean, we thought we might lose our house. you know, just all kinds of things. And not to mention the fact that my son lost a year of his, should have been a kind of a fun time of life, I think, but, you know, whatever. But that's my fault, because I took on what I did not, was not led by the Spirit to do. On the other hand, I'm just sharing some stories or whatever. On the other hand, there was a situation where a young girl, she was a believer, manifested demonically. And this was probably my really first encounter with that kind of situation. And I mean, it did freak me out. And I'm just like, and then I'm like, help, Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? Because it had to happen right then and there. I mean, her eyes were oily black. It was scary, really scary. Another situation, this girl who professed to be a believer, I don't think she really was. Maybe she was. I don't know. God knows her heart. But she manifested like a snake. And I'll tell you, if you ever see a snake, they have no bones like that. And she moved like that on the ground in a service. And she spoke in demonic tongues. If there is a difference between Holy Spirit tongues and demonic tongues. And, you know, that was pretty freaky. She actually had brought in a doll into counseling. And I think she might have been like a, it was just like, this is what happened to me, like kind of thing. I don't know if it was like voodoo doll or whatever. I mean, let me just tell you, she's no longer here. Don't worry. But that was another, you know, and then too, sometimes when you're dealing with broken people and they are manifesting, and then you know it's evil, right? All you do is take authority. You are not allowed to cause harm or danger. Where just you are restricted, blah, 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 in Jesus' name, and be done with it. If they don't want to be free, don't bother. Just let it be, because chances are, you know, seven times worse. They need to be educated how you maintain your freedom, not just getting free from these things, but how you maintain your freedom. So anyways, those are a couple of my fun stories. And I've had so many crazy things happen. I mean, driving, and I look in my backseat. This was during renewal, and there's this little girl sitting in my backseat. No, I mean, I could see her. It wasn't my imagination. She was sitting in my backseat. I had just left a service where a lot of these things were dealt with. So, you know, of course, the enemy wants to attack you afterwards or whatever. But that was crazy. Okay, I'll tell you one more. There was a girl. It eventually hit me. But, so one time, this was during renewal, and I'm going to stop the recording soon because I don't want anybody flipping out on me. Philip and I, you know, we had a meeting at the house. I've told you about how God moved and how awesome it was and so on. And so, you know, we're laying in bed and I look over and there's a woman in my bed who has a history of prostitution, for one, and so sexual sin and stuff. And I was in the midst of my treatment for cancer. And I swear this spirit was speaking to me, I'm going to take your husband. She tried first, I believe, with Pastor Oz, but she didn't. I don't think she showed up in his bed. No, but she was after him. Believe me, we know, women know. The guys are kind of dumb sometimes. They don't see it coming. You know, this one's flirting with you or whatever. But yeah. So anyway, so. What? It was a spirit. Okay. Not a physical. No, and my husband. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to be Dawn, and then we'll open it up for, let me make sure. Let me make sure that I'm done. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll finish with these couple points. How do we deal with those things? We seek the Holy Spirit and the guidance and multitude of counselors, okay, a team of people. Jesus gives us the person of the Spirit to be our helper and our teacher. He teaches us. You know, I learned some things hard, but I learned them. And the Holy Spirit's a person to be known, to know him. Know him. How do we distinguish demonic activity from a medical illness and so on? How do we know when someone needs deliverance versus healing for woundedness and pain? We have to really know the Holy Spirit. How do we pray? How do we speak? How do we act? We learn and depend on the Holy Ghost. And we also have these safeguards. Everything that is done has to align with the scriptures. What you are doing, whether it's praying, you know, for freedom for somebody or whatever, you will have faith for it. And others will be supportive of it. Lastly, you pray, you keep on persevering. That's what we need to do, is persevere and lean on the Holy Spirit.